Hello， 大家好 ，Welcome to today's family moment. I'm Jason.
How to show love? It was mom who held the family together.
Day and night, listen to your favorite, just my every moment.
Hello everyone, this is Haven. Today, let's talk about writing. The Transaction, William Zinsser. About 10 years ago, a school in Connecticut held a day devoted to the art, and I was asked if I would come and talk about writing as a vocation. When I arrived, I found that a second speaker had been invited. Dr. Brooke,as I'll call him, a surgeon who had recently begun to write and had sold some stories to national magazines. He was going to talk about writing as an vocation. That made us a panel, and we sat down to face a crowd of student newspaper editors, English teachers and parents, all eager to learn the secrets of our glamorous work.Dr. Brooke was dressed in a bright and red jacket, looking vaguely bohemian, as authors are supposed to look. And the first question went in, what was it like to be a writer? He said it was tremendous fun. Coming home from an arduous day at the hospital, he would go straight to his yellow pad and write his tensions away. The words just flowed, it was easy.Alan said that writing wasn't easy and it wasn't fun. It was hard and lonely and the words seldom just flowed. Next, Dr. Brooke was asked if it was important to rewrite. Absolutely not, he said.Let it all hang out, and whatever form the sentences take will reflect the writer as it is most natural. Alan said that rewriting is the essence of writing. I pointed out that professional writers rewrite the sentences repeatedly and then rewrite what they have rewritten. I mentioned that E.B. White and James Thumper rewrote the pieces 8 or 9 times.What do you do on days when it isn't going well? Dr. Brooke was asked. He said he just stopped writing and put the work aside for a day and when it would go better. I then said that a professional writer must establish a daily schedule and stick to it. I said that writing is a craft, not an art, and that the man who runs away from his craft because he lacks inspiration is fooling himself. He's also going to broke.What if you are feeling depressed or unhappy? A student asked. Will I affect your writing? Probably will, Dr. Brooke replied. Go fishing, take a walk. Probably won't, I said. If your job is to write every day, you'll learn to do it like any other job. A student asked if we found it useful to circulate in the literal world.Dr. Brooke said that he was greatly enjoying his new life as a man of letters, and he told several stories of being taken to lunch by his publisher and his agent at the chic Manhattan restaurants where writers and editors gather. I said that professional writers are solitary judges who seldom see other writers.Do you put symbolism in your writing? A student asked me. Not if I can help it, I replied. I have an unbroken record of missing a deeper meaning in any story, play or movie. And as for dance and mime, I have never had even a remote notion of what is being conveyed. I love symbols, Dr. Brogg exclaimed, and he described with gusto the joys of weaving them through his work. So the morning went, and it was a revelation to all of us. At the end, Dr. Brogg told me he was enormously interested in my answers. It had never occurred to him that writing could be hard. I told him I was just as interested in his answers. It had never occurred to me that writing could be easy. Maybe I should take up surgery on his side. As for the students, anyone might think we left them bewildered, but in fact we probably gave them a broader glimpse of the writing process than if only one of us had talked. For of course there isn't any right way to do such intensely personal work. There are all kinds of writers and all kinds of methods, and any method that helps people to say what they want to say is the right method for them. Some people write by day, others by night. Some people need silence, others turn on the radio. Some write by hand, some by typewriter or word processor. Some by talk into a tape record. Some people write the first draft in one long burst and then revise. Others can't write the second paragraph until they have fiddled endlessly with the first. But all of them are vulnerable and all of them are tense. They are driven by a compulsion to put some part of themselves on paper. And yet they don't just write what comes naturally. They sit down to commit an act of literature. And the self who emerges on paper is a far stiffer person than the one who sat down. The problem is to find the real man or woman behind all the tension. For ultimately, the product that any writer has to sell is not the subject being written about, but who he or she is. I often find myself reading with interest about a topic I never thought would interest me. Some unusual scientific quest, for instance. What holds me is the enthusiasm of the writer for his field. How was he drawn into it? What emotional baggage did he bring along? How did it change his life? It's not necessary to want to spend a year alone at Walden Pond to become deeply involved with a writer who did. This is the personal transaction that's at the heart of good non-fiction writing. Out of it come two of the most important qualities that this book will go in search of: humanity and warmth. Good writing has an aliveness that keeps the reader reading from one paragraph to the next. And it's not a question of gimmicks to personalize the author. It's a question of using the English language in a way that we will achieve the greatest strength and the least clutter. Can such principles be taught? Maybe not, but most of them can be learned.